Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast, coming to you from Iwakuni, Japan. That's right, baby. Got a few more days here left on the Adam Devine Army Base Air Force Japan tour. It's been an adventure, to say the least. Australia now here. We'll definitely be doing a tour recap episode with Kyle Walsh and Adam Devine when we get back to the States. But for now, enjoy this unbelievable re-release of an ALN classic with the one and only Rory Scovel. Holy shit. You know Rory. He's just one of the highest regarded stand-ups in the game. Been on countless TV shows. His Conan appearance with John Doerr, where they performed their sets at the same time, still might be the greatest late-night set to me in the history of late-night TV. He's also got a new movie coming out with Amy Schumer called I Feel Pretty. Trailer just dropped for that. It's going to blow him the fuck up and finally put him on that star surge that he should be on, because he's one of the best. And this episode is one of my favorites, not only because baseball season's getting ready to start up in a month or so, and we have an amazing baseball announcer improv riff, but Brad is not on this episode, and Brent Morin, the all-time ALN appearance record holder, guest host. So it's me, Rory, and Brent Morin just laughing as hard as I've ever laughed on this podcast. And in reminiscing about this a few days ago, I said, I got to put that back up because I'm still in Japan. And I thought about doing another one solo from here, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to save the rest of these stories from the past week and a half to do with Adam and Kyle when I get back to the States. So enjoy this ALN Classic episode. And tour dates. Holy shit. Coming up. This Saturday, I'm at the Rec Room in Huntington Beach, 10 p.m. That's Saturday, February 17th. Rec Room in Huntington Beach, 10 p.m. Get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Next Tuesday, February 20th, the next Adam Ray and Buddy show at the Comedy Store. February 20th, 8:30, Main Room, Hollywood.ComedyStore.com. The lineup is going to be announced in the next few days, and it's fucking bonkers. And then next Saturday, the 24th of February, that's the big show I can't wait for. First hometown show in a few years. I'm headlining the Triple Door in downtown Seattle. Holy shit, the Triple Door. I can't fucking wait. This venue is iconic. It's amazing. 8 p.m. February 24th. Me headlining the Triple Door. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Special guest, the real Don Music. My buddy Kirk Huffman and his band going to be opening up. Avery Pearson's coming. Some special surprise guests. I can't wait. Triple Door, February 24th, 8 p.m. Get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And then, after that, a bunch of tour dates all over the country. Boston, Edmonton, Canada, Minnesota, Vegas, Portland. Doing a club up there for the first time. All those tour dates at AdamRayComedy.com. Get your tickets. Come party. Rock your ALN merch, which, of course, you can get at AboutLastNightPodcast.com. Sweats, shirts, beanies. You've seen the people rocking the beanies. A lot of celebrities on top of a lot of non-celebrities. They're fucking comfy, man. So pick them up at AboutLastNightPodcast.com. Bring them to the shows, and we'll take pictures and sign them and all that shit. Brad Williams this weekend is at the Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington. Hometown Seattle peeps, go see Brad February 15th through the 17th. And then next weekend, the 23rd through the 25th, Brad is at the Comedy Connection in Providence, Rhode Island. Get your tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. So many amazing eps coming up, I can't even explain my excitement. Joel McHale is making his ALN debut. He has a new show, The Joel McHale Show, coming out on Netflix. Adam Devine, of course, coming back. Anders Holm from Workaholics and The Intern, and a new show, Champions, on NBC. And, of course, Game Over Man, the Workaholics movie on Netflix, coming out March 23rd. He'll be coming on. Pete Holmes from NBC's, from HBO's Crashing. Jeff Garlin from Curb and the Goldbergs is coming back. Sinbad is going to make his ALN appearance. Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers is coming back. The new season just premiered. So make sure you are subscribed to the About Last Night podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, wherever you get the podcast. Tell your friends and family. A lot of bullshit going on. We need comedy more than ever. You know what I'm saying? So get into it. Wherever. Driving, flights. It's been a treat for me to listen to so many podcasts that I've never listened to on these 15-hour fucking flights. Jesus Christ. I think I got 12 hours on Wednesday heading back. But you know what? I got some drugs and I got some podcasts. What more do you need? This week's ALN fan email comes to us from Kevin G. Kevin G, thanks for listening. And your email is so thorough and awesome. I'm going to read some highlights. But thanks for emailing us. Of course, email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. We'll read your fan emails live on the air and send you some merch. You know what I'm saying? If you hear your email read, shoot us back an email with your address and we'll send you some merch courtesy of Adam and Brad. Sound good? Kevin writes, "Hey, Adam and Brad, been a huge fan of the ALN pod practically since day one. I was first introduced to Brad when Ralph Garman would bring him onto the Kevin and Bean show to run jokes. Then Brad became a semi-regular, even filling in for Ralph on the showbiz beat. When he announced on Kevin and Bean that he was starting his own podcast, I was definitely intrigued, so I downloaded episode one, and that's how I discovered Adam. Through the years, I've become such a fan of not only the pod, but Adam and Brad individually. I've seen Adam open for Brad, and was fortunate enough to see Adam branch off and headline on his own. It's been a pleasure to see you guys flourish and improve as podcast hosts. Your interviewing and comedic timing has gotten so much stronger, and as comedians in your own right. You guys never realize this, but you have the toughest job in the world because I listen to you guys first thing Monday morning at work. That's usually when I've got the least amount of sleep and work is the busiest, so I really need something to lift my spirits, and you guys never fail. I also listened to you guys over the weekend on Bert's four-hour podcast. Oh, shit, the Bertcast. That's right, our appearance on Bert Kreischer's podcast, which apparently was one of his top downloaded episodes, FYI. You guys started listing your top five ALN episodes, and so I thought I would do the same here in no particular order. The Kevin Ryder, David Tell. Oh, Kevin Ryder and David Tell. This is number five. Jonathan Kite, number four. Ryan Sickler, number three. Will Sasso, number two. And Dion Cole, number one. I'm just going to read one of these. Jonathan Kite. I think Adam said Jonathan will be a guest again soon, which I cannot wait for. I believe it was the last time I was on that he was on. I was on a four-hour bus ride to Boston. I literally had to rip my earbuds off and stop listening because I was laughing so hard that others around me were staring. When he was doing his Tom Hanks impression with Adam's Tony Danza, and he responded with, "New phone, who dis?" I think that's the hardest I've ever heard Brad laugh. That's awesome, dude. Wow. What a great email. Oh, and it ends with, okay, so I'm sure you guys would stop reading about eight paragraphs ago. Anyway, just wanted to express my gratitude for all the amazing free hours of laughs you guys have provided me over the years. So glad that there is zero sign of slowing down. Looks like the ALN pod is just getting started, and I'm hopeful that the best is yet to come. From the teasers I've gathered, all the upcoming guests look amazing, and I cannot wait for the next episode. Kevin G, you're the fucking man, dude. Thank you for emailing us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Shoot us back an email with your address, baby, and we'll send you some merch. All right, of course, follow the podcast on Instagram at ALN Podcast, ALN Podcast on Twitter, Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter and Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, at Funny Brad on Twitter. Now that we got the Twitter handles, tour dates, merch info, and fan emails out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy an episode of the About Last Night podcast, a classic with Brent Morin and Rory Scovel.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's about last night.
Oh, and then I come out and go, you know what? No, fuck TMZ.
Yeah.
It's like, every is, other are we on TMZ right now? Yeah. What is this?
Well, they have so many, like...
Oh, God, I don't know.
I could never... I don't still see how you do a job like that and then also be like, I'm a real comedian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because that show was just all like, can you believe
they tried to get
Lohan?
Comics for that, like the show in like,
yeah, like
the
Brody
office.
Brody and Callen like hosted one, and but
yeah,
you could tell they were clearly like hosting it with an air of like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's funny they host it. But if two people that are like, those are two people that are perfect to host something like that, you know?
It's just so gross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's such a gross
thing. I just came from hosting that.
Like you
yeah. You're just trying to swallow your pride. As we
My dad invented TMZ.
My dad is Greg TMZ.
What does it even stand for?
Total Maturity Zone.
No way, dude.
Dude, that I tried like, to find no, it.
That sounds like a porn site. No,
that sounds like a porn site, or it sounds like Discovery Zone for adults.
Yeah, yeah.
Total Maturity Zone.
Remember Discovery Zone? It was like
Total Maturity Zone.
It was slow.
I remember Discovery Zone.
It was slides and ball pits.
Yeah.
And like really colorful, fun, no arts and crafts, like obstacle course.
Yeah, it was like cool if you were a physical kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I was a fat kid, and I just went up that slide and rolled right into the ball pit and just looked for fucking fruit by the foot that had fallen to the bottom. I called pussy fruit by the foot.
You were the coolest kid.
I was the coolest.
I used to fuck chicks at Discovery Zone.
Total maturity zone.
Wait a minute. Is that really the adult? Yeah, that's, yeah.
That has to be a hashtag. It's a better, I don't know if you started yet, but that has to be the hashtag. Oh, good.
It's a better porn site, though. Rory's, you that's a better.
I have no headphones. If this
was total maturity. Welcome
total
to Total
Maturity,
maturity
zone.
If this was a... For the fat kids who love to fuck. Like, man, it's actually packed today.
A lot of fat kids. A lot of fucking.
Which one's your kid? My kid's the one fucking the redhead over there. Yeah. Oh, cute.
They're in the balls right now, figuratively and literally.
Yeah, the dads.
How long you been a terrible
dads parent? The dads are idiots who are dropping their kids off there to fuck.
He's dumb.
Have a good time, Billy. Use two fingers.
Yeah, have fun fucking.
We'll be in the jerk-off loft for parents.
Yeah.
The jerk-off
the most disgusting
We'll be up
place.
In the TMZ jerking off.
Yo, easily the best start to any episode I've had.
Shit, where's Kyle's dad? Dude, he's always at the fucking TMZ, man.
He's up in the TMZ again. He doesn't even bring Kyle anymore.
No, that's what we're going to Kyle's to drink.
Dude, this sounds like a great show for all of us to star in. The dads who work at this place.
Yeah.
I love how I just said that like that's an actual possibility.
Yeah.
Dads that work at a fun center for kids to fuck kids.
Have you heard about the shows Adam's pitching these days? He's got one about these dads who don't have
supervise
kids.
Supervise kid fucking.
They supervise kids that fuck. And the ages
fuck
are unspecified.
Up? Yeah.
The kids that fuck shit up? Are you just not finishing that sentence?
No
man.
Fuck.
Kids that penetrate vaginas.
Legit ass to mouth.
Oh god!
My guests are Brent Moore.
Don't get lost in the slide. I got my dick sucked for the first time in that crazy slide. All right, get in the car, Albert. How's your name, Albert?
Yes. No, all those kids are hanging out there. It's Albert
just
and Willie
pitching the Cinemax late night comedies.
I guess that's all it could be, dude. It's about to happen. Don't you feel like with the amount of cable networks and the amount of avenues for programming now that like why not Cinemax just being like. You know, we're trying to get in the comedy game.
Yeah,
everybody.
We're trying to find our daily show.
I'm not joking. I would do softcore comedy.
I would do softcore comedy.
I would totally do that.
That'd be great.
They're like, well, you tell some jokes, you're a funny character, and every now and then you're just in a sex scene where we don't see anything.
Just like, more people show up.
I guess they really were. What do you remember your first memory of a Skinamax or porn? How about that?
I kind of can remember porn, but I did a lot of the like blurred pay-per-view, Channel Zero, where it was like kind of blurry, and I would try to like watch that.
You spent about 45 minutes catching half a tit and most of a urethra.
And that's all you'd get.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's why I'm on the internet so much for porn now. I'm like, well, this is like heaven.
Yeah.
I spent so much time trying to put body parts together with split screen and wavy lines and shit.
Yeah.
That's how you became a creative person.
That's how I became a creative.
I became a creative.
Shitty porn. Shitty softcore porn.
Time Cop was, I think, I had that going on.
Was that a movie with some porn?
With Jean-Claude Van Damme. There's a sex scene in the rain. And that got me going.
Jesus, what age was that?
Oof.
A couple weeks ago.
Boof.
Yeah. The joke there is you got to go older.
You got to go.
But I was young. I was probably, it was a VHS. I was really in the Van Damme.
Yeah.
But I never saw him fuck.
32. Haven't seen it yet. When did you see that? In a couple of years, I will. And that's going to ignite me.
That's why it's called Time Cop. That was my first. Except for a porn video, my best friend at the bus stop was just like just love lying and doing stupid shit. His name's Elliot Gordon. He works
God, you
for
never
Iceland
forget
Airlines.
That.
Oh, you told me about it.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah. And
he would
put
not
up VHS.
Be allowed at Total Maturity Zone, by the way.
No. He's the one who would like go and just lie to moms and get blown. How Brent find it.
Blown.
You know what I'm
saying?
Blown.
You get blown.
Clooney boop.
It's a Clooney boop. All right, Roar, real quick. Brent was on the podcast last week, and we discovered how to fill the time on NBC.
Yeah, Network television.
Network television. If you're running short on comedy ideas. Hey, you know who is not in the comedy world, but probably had a lot of slip-ups? George Clooney. Started on ER for, 7-8 seasons?
Yeah.
Known as a dramatic actor. Probably had a lot of bloopers.
Yeah.
So we take all of his Clooney boops.
Clooney Boops.
Clooney Boops.
And it's a whole season of George Clooney bloopers.
I bet there's a lot.
From anything he's done.
I bet there's a lot.
And then Pit Slips.
Pit Slips is season two.
Season two.
Pit Slips.
The whole Ocean's 11 cast.
Yeah, the whole cast we go through.
What's Damon?
Matt Damon.
What's Damon's?
Damon's with like Talented Mr. Ripley bloopers on the canoe.
Yeah, but what's Damon?
Damon Dives.
Now I'm thinking of more.
Damon Dives is probably.
Damon Dives are good. Damon Dives.
Matt Mishaps.
Mishaps. That's funny. Daniel Day Lewis.
Just call the show Daniel Day Lewis.
How much would you pay to see a Daniel Day Lewis bloopers reel? Like, it wouldn't even be funny.
No. But that's what we were saying. Yeah. We were saying that they're probably not laugh out loud, but it's just funny to see like Clooney kind of like trip on like a beaker
and try to find it.
Oh. But then they do that stuff where the whole crew laughs, but everybody at home's like, that's not really funny. But we get like he had a rapport there.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, I guess I missed that dad, huh? And you're like,
George.
Way to go, George. He'll get it.
GC.
Give me the scrapple. I meant scalpel. Fuck me. Don't really fuck me. I'm not gay. Let's do it again.
He crushes for 10 minutes. Yeah. It's an avalanche that just starts.
Yeah. We were saying, too, it'd be funny if he just, like, there was something he always, like, almost like Tourette's, if he fucked up, he would just repeat. Oh, like, he'd be like, give me that scrapple. Ah, fat bitches.
Yeah.
Like, he just keeps doing it. He goes, all right, let's go
come
again.
Come on, George. Fat bitches. Fuck. Fat bitches.
All right, here we go. Talk to yourself, George. Find it.
Titties. Come on.
How?
Like, George is saying titties over and over again until he gets in the zone.
I want to ask you guys, segue, because you're two stars of television.
Huge
shows.
Stars.
You're playing.
My guests, by the way, Roy Scoville and Brett Morin, respectively, of Ground Floor on TBS and Undateable on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are TV stars and comedy stars and buddies, which is why we're all here.
Just mega famous.
wait, let me ask you, though. Being on TV, what is it? What's the first thing when you got on the show that you noticed that was like different about life?
Like when the show aired?
Yep.
The way you said yep.
You know,
like,
it's honestly,
yep. I was like, you were mad at me, did not get it right away. Like, yep, obviously.
Yes.
It's a Clooney boop.
I don't think.
And your show, by the way, created by the same guy. So that's pretty crazy.
I honestly don't think it's not what I thought. Like, I thought it would maybe. I didn't think it would be crazy. But it's really very mild. It's not like anything in really changes in terms of, like, the only difference I can honestly see is maybe I sell a few more tickets at comedy clubs on the weekends. But it's never like, I mean, I don't even know how many people are watching the show.
Yeah. It's tough. It's
they
tough
don't give
to
you the numbers.
I haven't gotten a gist of any, like, I don't even know if I'm selling more tickets, to be honest.
That's cool. That's really cool. Yeah.
I would say
don't be that guy.
You get to do more shows, though. Like, I mean, that's one thing. People go like, "Oh, you're a working actor."
Yeah.
Kind of.
I think it maybe puts you on
We've
an
also been on
radar,
both of
maybe.
Each other's shows.
You did a whole Jaleel White crossover.
Yeah, we
going
did.
Going to Full House and Step by Step.
Yeah.
I'm working out ways to get his character back on our show this season. And by that, I mean I have no pull, so I have zero idea how I'm working out ways.
I already know it's not going to happen based on Brent fighting for me.
Wait, they both shoot on the Warner Brother lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then you're just literally walking from, how great is that?
Just across the parking lot, really.
Yeah, because we were shooting...
next door
kind of in the same time at one point, weren't we, because it was like a dorm.
I think
we had
like
dressing rooms on the first and second floor. It was kind of fun. And then sometimes they come over our tape nights, I go over their tape nights.
What do you do with the we were just talking about Clooney bloopers, but what about comedian bloopers? How does that get handled if you guys do actually fuck up?
The audience loves it.
Yeah, they love it. And but I like it. Sometimes it actually helps. I realize that Chris and I would purposely fuck up if the crowd seemed stale and then just go back and forth at each other. And that would get the crowd to be like, oh, this is fun. Yeah. And then we were in it. And then it was great after that. Like, if it was stale, I would go like, Chris, we got to do something. He goes, all right. And we'd fuck up on purpose.
Because they want to see you be...
Yeah, they want to say people love
because then they feel like we're there. We're getting to see something that won't be on TV.
Yeah.
We're getting like to see something special.
They also do. You think there's a part of it too where they're like a little jealous of watching you make money and do something really fun? So when you fuck up, they're like, "Yeah, it's not that easy."
Definitely,
they want it to be harder.
There's a Peter, for sure. Who knows? There's probably some of the people out there.
Let me ask you a question,
okay,
Roy, because you're in your second season already.
Yeah,
have you?
God, you can't even get through a question.
He's changed so much.
Are you a voices guy?
Not really.
doing 1,000 as quickly as possible.
Have you noticed? Have you noticed like your audiences are, like showing up now are fans of the show? Because our first season, nobody except for maybe Chris, that was like our only real star,
had some pull.
Yeah, had pull. You know, there's nobody that really knew who the fuck we were. So yeah. that thing was like, yeah, who are, like, I could see audience members looking. I saw a couple people in the audience. I'd look up and wave, and some dudes would just give me looks like "fuck off," and I was like, all right,
yeah.
But I'm wondering, are there fans now?
Yeah. I don't think so. I mean, if they are, it's not like overwhelming. I think you got to become
Big Bang. You got to be Big Bang.
Because see, with Big Bang, when people come to LA to like see LA as tourists, they are like, can we go see Big Bang?
Yeah.
We're like an unknown show where it's even if they did like our show, it's not occurring to them that they can probably come see it. Mm. It's probably not occurring to them we're even shooting in L.A. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like Big Bang Theory, it's been on for so long and it's got such a following. That's like a destination.
Sure.
That's almost like that's on your bullet of
that's
like
true.
Things you're going to do on vacation with us. I feel like you guys maybe will have that more for second season, but with the ratings that we have, which are fine, I don't think it's overwhelming enough for people to be like, to seek us out.
Yeah, it's so hard to be like culturally, like a cult. Like that whole, like I remember working at Conan and I would
get through takes or were people just like going batshit crazy, and he was
tapings of Friends?
With Friends, and he said
this
honestly it was the
Friends.
Oh shit.
He said it was the opposite. Because people were so starstruck then.
Really?
Like, oh my God, we're this close, you know?
Wow.
And it, you know, oh my God, Chandler's right there.
That's
so in a way,
crazy.
They're not screaming. They're just kind of in shock.
Yeah.
Talking and I was like, yeah,
themselves.
I guess I could see that happen. I wouldn't have predicted that.
Yeah.
Well, when I did a guest spot on According to Jim, which by the way got canceled after I did my episode. Responsible? Probably.
I love those scenes. I remember when I was first friends with you, I saw those scenes. I remember thinking, like,
boy, this guy's
going to
be a big star.
Well, I was like, one, I.
Oh, wait,
like,
sorry, go ahead.
You
boy, nobody gets guest spots on According to Jim anymore. What did this guy do? Was he just great in the room? Oh, man. I hope he doesn't take 7 years for him to get something else. Oh, wait a minute. It did? Oh, cool, man.
But, cool, man. Yeah. Cool. So cool.
By the way, these are the conversations in the ball pit at Total Maturity. Total Maturity.
Oh, shit. Clooney Boop.
God damn it. Clooney Boop.
Clooney Boop.
Fucking A. A
no, dude.
Dope.
I remember thinking, like, cool, man. Did you have water, like a water jug?
Yeah,
like
dude.
A water guy?
Oh, I was a three scenes, season premiere. Dude.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Season premiere.
You know
that's
what the
great.
Guy posted and included in my Facebook post? Season premiere in quotes. Yeah. Three scenes. That water jug, by the way, God, I fucked it up. I had to hold a water jug on my side. I'm like, you know, I feel like I'm not weak, but I'm definitely not capable to hold two water jugs on my shoulders without maybe dropping one. Dropped one during the tape, exploded everywhere. They had to clean it all up.
Oh, my God.
Because that guy was like, you can hold. Oh, Jesus, you're right. Yeah. Just bapped his head into a Muppet poster.
He just bippity bopped his head right into a Muppet Show poster.
If you're going to talk about hitting her in a Muppet Show poster, you better use lingo.
Use the
lingo.
It's
coming out of Gonzo's mouth. He bibbity bapped his fucking. That's not even baseball announcers in the 40s says bibbity bapped.
And Babe Ruth just bapped that one a second.
He bippy bopped that one right over the wall. What? How long did it take?
That was a great announcer.
Wait, now I'm a voice guy. All right, look, I am a voice guy.
Wait, can we go around real quick and each give our own? Because I know we've all done it in our own time. And okay, where you do your own, give a quick play by play. All right.
All right. Wait, do I have to go first,
Brent?
I'll go first.
All right, here we are.
Jesus.
Fenway Park. Beautiful day here in 1955. Ted Williams.
Oh, you're just doing like weather play by play.
It's a beautiful day here. The audience is here.
Audience is the pregame.
We have peanuts. Anyway, Ted Williams hit the ball. I missed it. I missed it. Missed it. What a beautiful day here. Ted is rounded second. Anyway, if you guys want a good steak, there's a great. And he went home. That was it. Well, I missed it. Jiminy Jewel.
Oh, Jesus. Closing it out.
He's our sponsor.
Jiminy Jewel.
Great candy. Chew your way to the center of center 1954.
You're switching
what
it.
What year?
You're switching it to chew at the last second?
What?
Well, Jiminy Chew.
Well, that's the end of the inning. There was a brawl. That was my impression of the
great.
Most ADD announcer.
Beautiful.
Who also was a puppet who doesn't know where he is. Did I get the SNL part?
That
I
was
mean,
great.
On that many levels, we have to give it to you.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Roar.
Dale Murphy steps up to the plate. I always want to have like a back of the throat. Dale Murphy steps up to the plate. This is his fourth time at bat this evening. Most players, a lot of players these days, a lot of guys in the ball club. You never know how much I tweeted that out. You ever know how they say like clubhouse or ball? What was it? Ball? I can't remember what
clubhouse.
I said. But did
clubhouse.
You say ballpark? I think you like replied with something. Like yeah, they love to say like ballpark too or something.
Yeah, it was
like,
a great tweet. I remember that. It was a great reply.
He hits that kind of home run, then he's going to try to get right into the clubhouse. That's a ball club coming together and doing what it has to do to win ball games. Like, why do they want it to be the 30s so bad?
God, we've evolved. It's the dugout, man.
Here we are at the beautiful weather today here at the ballpark. It's a baseball stadium, you piece of shit.
2-1 the count on Eric Karros. Karros, a native of Detroit, spent time here in the summer with his ex-wife, Diane, who coincidentally played in a summer league softball tournament for MTV.
The announcer who knows too much.
Opposite, she was in the Jock and Rock game opposite Dan Cortez, hit a bloop single off him in right field that scored the winning run. Frank Thomas was the MVP of that game. Karros hits a line drive to center field, caught by Bip Roberts. Bip Roberts, of course, the only player named Bip in the history of the world. Of course, today's game brought to you by Gugav. Fucking, I just had a stroke. Let me do that over again. Today's sponsor brought to you by Charleston Chew, the candy bar that makes every game feel like the best of it. And and that's going to end the inning.
Sponsored by Charleston Chew, a company that had a hard time getting off the ground. You know way too much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're going to go right to the commercials. If you're looking for a place to hang and your kids like having sex, go on down to TMZ, Total Maturity Zone.
Total Maturity Zone.
I want to go in the ball pit. Oh, you already came, Timmy. And this is a good place for parents, too.
But, Dad, I want to come again.
This Saturday, we've got a special 2-for-1 pizza deal down at TMZ. Go, come on down, get 2 pizzas, put your fingers inside of an adolescent pussy.
Hey, Vera.
Back to the game. Karo steps back into the plate.
Today's sponsor, TMZ. A good company. I took the grandkids there a couple weekends ago. We had quite a time, tit fucking and all kinds of fun. Line drive.
Caught by Larkin. Larkin, actually a native of the Detroit area, spent some time growing up here.
Father and him have had quite a difficult relationship.
I wish it was 1 ounce. Their facts are always on the surface, but what if there was an ounce that just got really deep in? Because the contrast of having to like be like, you know, father and Matt had a weird relationship growing up, spent a lot of time and using a belt on his lower back, said that's really what shaped him into the player and really what gave him the strength to defend at shortstop so well. Here's Larkin again for the second time up, hopefully going to put his own beat down on this baseball.
Yeah. At his 45th birthday, he recalls his father telling him to leave and never come home again. But that is not the case tonight as he hits another one out of the park.
Come on home, Barry. Come on home.
There's always a helmet full of ice cream waiting for him here in the old dugout.
You know, I was at TMZ a couple weeks ago with my granddaughter, and I thought I was eating a cup of ice cream out of a helmet. It turns out it was semen. It was a young man's semen. That's TMZ for you.
That is TMZ. Anyway, you're up to the plate now.
Here's Gonzalez for the third time tonight. He's had some decent luck against Perez.
Story about Gonzalez. His younger brother got heavy into the cocaine dealing business. He tried to save him and failed miserably as his young brother was gunned down about a week ago. And speaking of gunned down, there's a fastball inside and he's out.
You know, the cocaine business, not a bad move after you don't even get into your safety school. That's, yeah. He knows that much about the brother. He applied to numerous colleges, did not get in.
It's a crying shame that he is now gone, and so is the Yankees.
And so is the inning.
Cocaine, a dangerous drug, never done it. Have done a weed brownie at one time. Tried to fuck one of those inflatable kid pools at my stepdad's barbecue. Anyway, here's Buhner up to the plate now. It's a 2-1 count.
Good to
already
see him back in the league here. 55 years old. Still the same open stance. Kind of says, hey, I dare you to throw me.
I dare you to throw me.
His father used to actually hit him on a daily basis in the basement with young rats.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Good. You feel good about that one?
Well, Buhner actually defends his father, says if it wasn't for him, he'd never know how to hit with an open stance. Because if you're going to catch a rat, you got to do it with two hands. Anyway, here he is. He strikes out.
Strikes out again. He's never had a good at bat.
Rory, what was comedy like in Greenville, South Carolina?
Adam.
What a segue.
Take a step back with me, if you will. It wasn't when I started. It wasn't
like when you were a kid, though. What made you laugh, or were you just like on your own? Just
I think I was just a class clown. Anything on certain things on TV, I can't remember specifically like what I was into. I mean, I think we probably all went through the same SNL phase at the same time. I don't know.
Nothing.
I mean,
you didn't see anything that made you go, "Oh, I want to do that." I feel like it's in you as a kid.
Yeah.
To want to.
I mean, honestly, when I was such a class clown. And I had a friend who asked if I would ever try to be on Saturday Night Live. And I was like, you know, like that sounds awesome because I remember like that phase where SNL was like at its peak and you know, and at least in my own opinion. And I was like, yeah, that seems like that would be fucking awesome. And he was like, yeah, he's like, would you ever do stand-up comedy? Because a lot of stand-up comedians write on SNL and then become, I think he was like, it's specifically like someone like Al Franken.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, a writer and then you get on the show and... Like, immediately I was like, well, no, I guess I won't because I didn't really know much about stand-up other than, like, sort of, like, proper stand-up. I almost said, like, legit stand-up, but I don't think that's the right description. But, like, you know, someone like Seinfeld where it's, polished and you're in a suit and it's a show and the ticket price makes sense. I thought, I think that's great and I think it's hilarious. I don't think I'm capable of that. And I thought that's all that it was.
Right.
And it's even because, like, when you look at, like, Pryor, I never was allowed to, like, watch it. But if I saw a picture, he was, like, he would be, like live on the Sunset Strip when he's in, like, that red suit.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's a lot of suits. They must all be, like, just talking proper and doing jokes.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. I didn't really intend to go into it until after college, and then I just tried stand-up.
But as a class clown, I'm always curious, though, because, like, I was, like, the class clown where it was, like, I wanted to make my friends laugh, or, like, while the teacher was talking, or, like, I was the one in fourth grade who put the Wumpa cushion on his chair so that everybody in the class, when he came back, would laugh.
Yeah.
Or, and then, like, you know, would prank call friends as teachers and, like, sixth grade, like...
Yeah.
But, like, more in isolated things, and then in high school and college, it grew into more of, like, you know, you get more comfortable around a larger group of people to, like, tell a story or whatever.
Right.
So were you, like...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it was. I wasn't that daring. I never took like those kind of risks. I was still like,
cushion route,
no,
huh?
I was like, I went.
I was
to,
ahead of my time. Some kids went with the hand buzzer. Yeah. I was like,
not me. Whoopee cushion galore.
It's funny story. Adam Ray actually grew up in the Christmas Story, so that's so a lot of whoopee cushions.
Funny story. In fact, a Christmas Story. Adam Ray grew up inside a Christmas Story. I don't know. I went to a Catholic school, so I was pretty afraid of getting in trouble. So I did. I would do anything for a laugh, but I definitely played inside the boundaries of like not wanting to get in trouble. I was just terrified of getting in trouble.
What is he? So and getting in trouble is, I mean, and I don't know the world of the Catholic school, but like if you do something funny, it's probably not that they're not like condone or you know looking down on humor, but if you're doing something funny, it's probably something that's. Not
like
within
sin.
The lines of
sin.
Like I don't know. I mean, I would just act goofy and say silly shit, and maybe like talk too much or like passing notes and stuff that you would get in trouble. But like the kind of thing that was like you wouldn't get to like play at recess kind of thing.
Yeah,
but I was never like Like putting a whoopee cushion in the teacher's chair
would get you.
Could be like expulsion.
Holy
or
shit.
Or definitely suspension.
Yeah. Wow.
So like I never like went to those things, but like
thank God I'm a Jew.
I've said that every day, every time I run into you. Thank God he's Jewish.
Wait, so
what about high school though?
Yeah.
And high school?
High school, I went to a private Episcopalian school for a few years. So I was kind of the same. And then when I went to public school, I transferred to another high school. It was kind of, I don't know. I feel like I can't really define why I was a class clown. I was hyperactive. If something made someone laugh, I would do it.
Yeah.
Like if I had to like fake trip or even hurt myself, I wouldn't even care.
Yeah.
Just to get people to laugh. I've kind of thought about that. Like I wonder if there's people, if they remember that about middle school. I mean, remembering middle school in general, but if they remember middle school and then we're like, oh yeah, Rory was like a class clown and now he's like getting paid to do that.
Yeah.
Like I would think that would blow their minds.
Yeah.
Because like,
my friends who are like super smart as kids and who are like doctors now, I'm like, that blows my mind, but makes perfect sense. And I'm I guess I fall into that category too of, well, I guess I could have seen that coming. That guy doing that.
You played soccer, though, in high school. Were you like, because I played baseball in high school, and I was definitely like, I sacrificed competition at a certain point just to make everybody laugh all the time.
Dude, of course.
I would try to make the guy I was marking in soccer, I would try to make him laugh. And like one, just to like be funny and be like, oh, I made this dude laugh.
Yeah.
But also to be like, if he's laughing, he's kind of letting down his guard because I'm still going to fucking tackle it.
1,000%.
Like, I'm still going to try to get the ball.
Now, because soccer's so fast. What are you saying in those quick?
I played like defense in college.
Okay.
So there's a lot of times, like if we had the ball on offense, corner kicks or something, there would still be a forward standing next to me, almost like a guy on first base.
Right.
You can like kind of chat and be like, well, we have a second here. I can say something. I don't really remember what I said, but it would be anything. I would make fun of like his own team. Like I would like point out a guy and be like, you guys don't like that guy, right? Like, there's no way. Like, look at that dude. There's no way you guys like him.
Yeah.
And, like, if they kind of laughed a little bit, I'd be like, huh, see? You're laughing because like you know you don't even like that guy. Don't even pass him the ball the rest of the game. Like shit like that.
Who put on those shin guards for him? A blind guy?
And some people would try to like ignore me.
No, that was the right response from both of you guys. I'm just trying to like,
I tried to
animatronic puppet and fucking figure it out, Brett.
You didn't know. Those
figure out the rest TMZ. Of that. At TMZ. They even have those God at TMZ.
They have the Chuck E. Cheese band at TMZ.
Yeah.
And they're just they're singing
hello,
songs.
Hello, kids.
Hey. Yeah.
You ready for pizza and pussy?
Yeah. Dad, I want to come again.
God damn it. Here's another $50. Take your tokens.
Yeah. The dad wants to leave. So
condoms are in your cubby. Every kid had a cubby, remember?
I want everybody to know.
I said that like
I thought
didn't
that was so funny. There's something about putting words like condoms and cubbies. Like when it's like that, that makes me just
that's
fucking
what I do.
Know.
I tell you, home court advantage, man. This is my apartment. But
cubby condom.
Cubby condoms.
Welcome to the condo cubby. What? Yeah. See, it's just anything that's like a
what was the first stand-up open mic then in college?
When I graduated college, I didn't really know what I was going to get into. I really wanted to like act and be a filmmaker, and it was like in college where I was like, "What am I even talking about? Like, I don't even know how to accomplish that or do it." And I started working at a local news station doing studio camera news, like cameraman operator. How many more words can I put in that title?
Probably six.
Cameraman, newspaper, reporter, operator.
He's lying.
Focus. So zoom in, zoom out. So I was doing that, and then the pay wasn't that great, and I just randomly, after listening to a David Cross CD, I was like, I'm going to just try this. And I went to an open mic poetry night in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and tried it, and I told all my friends. It was like right around Christmas break.
Oh, that's
I had a lot
cool.
of friends who were still on the soccer team, and their Christmas break just started. So I was like, hey, if you're still in town, I'm going to go do this tonight. I don't know what it'll be like. And so many people came out that the guy running the bar, because nobody in the South is showing up for an open mic poetry night, not in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Yeah.
So there's three or four poets who are like, yeah, if you don't mind going on, you know, in the middle or at the end, I think they were like, go on the end so the people like stay.
Cool.
I was like, yeah, totally. I'll do that. I don't even know what I'm doing. And the guy, the bartender was like, because he knew if I kept going, he would keep selling beer. So he's like, you can do whatever you want for as long as you want.
Oh, that's my God.
He's like, you brought everybody.
This is your first time?
So, yeah. So wow. I went up and just
now, you
like,
said you had no idea what you were doing. Did you have even any sort
wrote,
of like, you're like
I wrote
David
ideas.
Cross, you, and you knew like, you'd seen stand-up at that point. So right, you're like, all right, I have some.
I had seen like Nick Swartzen, like his half hour was super like, fuck, I want to have like the jealousy of like wanting to have the fun that you could see him having. 100%. Like in his, I don't know how many he did, but like that first half hour
I
for
know
sure.
What you're talking about.
And then Dane Cook was also, it was like right after Harmful of Swallowed was like exploding.
That's a great time for stand-up.
It was especially for like wanting to get into it where people were being silly and like loose. Not that they weren't before, but it was like, wasn't like Steve Martin where we're so detached generationally.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, here's like young dudes doing it, so maybe I could try this.
Also compared to what you had thought stand-up was prior to that.
Exactly.
When you said like the suits and the very proper
jokes.
And now you're like, oh, you can kind of just be goofy.
And how loose
and
those guys are.
Shit. Yeah.
So I wrote down like ideas, like things, almost like the way you go up with like a new bit if you don't really know what's going to happen with it. So that was like, I had like five or six things, but because the whole crowd, I knew them, I could do like crowd work and like make fun of the crowd and be as silly and dumb as I wanted because they were there to really be like, fuck, we want this to be awesome. We've never,
so it's such
you
a
can tell nobody had seen a friend do stand up. So this was crazy that they were like, yeah, we came out and we were drinking $2 Budweiser's watching this happen. This is crazy.
Were they looking at you being like, I hope Roy doesn't suck? Or were you the funny guy to them? So they're like, this is probably going to be pretty cool.
I was like the funny guy. Okay, so they were kind of like, yeah, done deal. We'll be there. It's awesome, dude. Go up there and be great. Okay. Like it was like overwhelmingly supportive.
Because you know some of those open mics you did at the beginning where there was always like one guy who's like from the office and brought the whole office.
Yeah, right.
Because he was like, people say I'm pretty funny and Kathleen, I want my $5 after this. And they're like, fucking
and the
that.
Whole crowd's like, we don't get that.
Or I'll touch your tits at the office.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Oh, you're going to have a weird tomorrow.
And he says like some weird code word in front of, that they use in front of the break room.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give you all, I'll bap you or something.
Yeah. Bippity bapskis.
That's a callback to the Muppet poster.
Yeah. And I said, what am I, Mr. O'Neill? And we're like, who? Yeah,
who is that?
But they're dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, way to go, Crowl.
So
Crowl.
Oh, Jesus. Oh.
I think my brain stopped.
But in a way, Crowl is great because no one will ever go with that name written or spoken again. Like, no one will ever say Crowl.
Nope. That's all yours, Brett.
For life. Go, Crowl. Crowl Mortimork.
Oh, my God. That coworker doesn't know his name is Craig.
They're drunk, or they think he's a Fraggle. Rory, wait, so you crush, right?
It went really well. I wouldn't say I crushed.
This isn't a tape. Is this the same place? I YouTubed him in the past.
Nice.
When I was a PA at Conan, and he was always... doing Conan.
Were you there real quick when he did the John Doerr?
Yeah, I was there as a PA.
I
stood in for him. He doesn't know that. I remember standing in for you when you guys had to do all that
what?
Shit.
I'm like mad about it. What was that?
No, it's a good thing.
We will come back to the
what was
open
that video,
mic, the open mic poetry, how that finished up.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Well, okay, wait, go. Okay.
There's a video of you, and I feel like it's got to be your hometown because I remember thinking, man, I would love to go to my hometown or somewhere near there and play a place like this. And it was, I think it was in South Carolina. And I think they brought you up saying you already had like a half, whatever, maybe you had a half hour and there's a window and you were doing crowd work.
Oh, that was in Asheville.
Asheville,
North Carolina. Yeah.
Was it like you were home and you were just like, fuck it?
Not so much, but
was it just like a regular show?
They do a Wednesday show there, and I guess that there's a great like local scene in Asheville.
Yeah, because it seems fun, that show.
I had mentioned like, hey, I want to like do a show and I want to like try to make some money and do this gig. And so some local comics helped me. Like, they're like, yeah, do the Wednesday show. You like you can have it. You can have that night. And so I did it, and they like told people to come out, and it just... Asheville is a great city to perform stand-up in.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
And that's not where you did your special, right?
Because I'm an idiot. You're right. No, I didn't. But I will at some point do something there.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun to
Asheville's
perform there.
How far from Greenville?
It's probably about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour.
And it's just a very, progressive?
It's just like a progressive, but also like the right mix of conservatives and progressives.
Awesome.
In like one town and like... It's a mountain town. It's kind of hippie-ish, but at the same time, there's the like, conservative vibe. So it's perfect. So your audience isn't like there's no like lopsided, anything to the audience. You're like, oh, if you want to, whatever you're gonna do, somebody's gonna laugh. and someone's going to be converted laughing,
yeah.
or they're going to be upset, which is always also kind of fun.
Yeah.
And you kind of get that with the crowds. But that show was really fun.
Yeah,
that
night. It looked like a great town too.
So the end of that poetry, so that it goes well, and then you're like, okay, now, like,
yeah, it went well, and I was like, after that, I was going to visit my sister for New Year's up in D.C. So I went up to visit, and I just looked in the city paper, and I saw that there are all these open mics, and we were sitting around. It was like a few days before New Year's Eve, and I was like, oh, there's an open mic night tonight. So I called this hotel. It was like at a Best Western. It's not even there anymore. This Best Western, I think it was called The Cave. It was their downstairs bar. So I called and I was like, is there an open mic? I was like, can I do it? How does it work? And they were like, yeah, just show up and let them know you want to do it. Because I think the place is like new. Like, well, no one ever shows up.
Yeah.
So again.
You mean Best Western comedy nights weren't fucking booming?
I know. That's what I thought. But so my sister tells a bunch of friends. So again, I show up with like 10 people. Nice. At least in this case. And I show up and there's not much of a crowd. And the show was like decent. It's like comics that I've gotten to know. Seton Smith was hosting that night. He was like on the show. He had just started maybe a year before that.
Right.
So I showed up and he's hosting and I was like, can I go up? And he was like, yeah, you brought a lot of people. Like, you can go up. We'll put you up, like, get two people in. So I went up and I kind of did the same stuff I did in back in Spartanburg.
Yeah.
And it was really like acting a lot of stuff out and doing voices and being like characters and stuff, like acting out the people in the joke.
Yeah.
And which I really enjoyed. And it went well again. And so after that, I decided, I was like, I think I'm going to move to D.C. because that city paper had so many open mics. Like, yeah. I could do it. And my sister would let me like stay on her couch.
And that's not too far away, still from home, right? You didn't want to completely.
It's not like
jump.
So far, and it's still like East Coast. It's just going a little bit up the East Coast. And so when I get back to Spartanburg, I put together a farewell show. I've performed twice. I put together a farewell show.
Is there a flyer out there for that still?
Yes, I have it. I have it framed.
Oh, dude, that's the best.
$2 cover charge.
Yeah.
I put together a show, and the place was called Guitar Bar. That's where the open mic poetry night was. And he was like, yeah, you can come in. You can move the tables. You can do whatever you want. And I was like, great. And I'll... he was like, you just have to fill 3 hours of time. And so my buddy is in a band.
Who am I, you two?
Yeah. Well, my buddy was in a band. Right. And I was like, why don't you come and play for like an hour and a half? And then it's going to take you a half hour to like get everything out of the way.
Great idea.
And then I can go on and do an hour. This is my third time. This is how delusional.
Following a fucking band.
This is how delusional.
Delusional, but also, man, you got to be, let's be honest. Anybody getting into this business, you have to be delusional to a point.
That is true.
To think that you're going to make it, and B, to just like get that lost in it to where you were like, oh, those are the guidelines I have. So here's how, and then you figured it out.
Yeah.
You figured out how to still make it, because you could have been like 3 hours. Maybe next year I'll do a farewell show after two stage appearances. So
it was bizarre. Like, so the night before,
who was the band?
I can't remember. I think they were called either they had a song called Sister Moon, or they were called Sister Moon.
Was it it wasn't perfect. Sister Hazel?
You know what? But it is like a huge band. Yeah. I've like forgotten.
Bare-naked
you know what?
Lady.
It was
like,
John Mayer. Now that I look back,
yeah. Oh,
what's
my
up,
God,
dude?
John Mayer.
Probably at fucking TMZ trying to fucking get his hands on some chicken wings
on
and
some
that's
other
not
moms
code.
And
that's
dads.
Just they have great wings.
They have good food. They have good
it's
food. It's like Hooters. The food is decent. There like those people are so delusional. Yeah.
We've all heard somebody actually say that.
Yes. Like, oh my God. All the time.
It's actually not that bad.
The food is when you hear a mom say it, you're like, oh, you don't know how to stand up to your husband.
Oh no.
Oh, that's sad.
Your son's gonna be a bully.
Your son's gonna be gross.
Stand up to your husband.
Your son's gonna be gross because every Sunday after the soccer game, you guys go to Hooters.
Yeah.
Because all the dads and the 13-year-old sons want to.
Yeah. You go home, you can jerk off to her.
Yeah.
Dale, I'm just, you know.
Teaching the kid about Spank Bank.
Yeah. Just having some wigs and beer, honey. I don't know why you're mad.
Well, and the food is actually good.
Yeah. That's
which
what
is why
saying.
I always say fine.
I get the dressing on the side. They put it on for you sometimes.
And then she just gets a shitty salad. It's like, do you think the food is good? I just have some of the bread and the water.
Yeah.
The men, now that's where the drinking is.
God, and they always so have the game you want on life. The TV.
Yeah.
There's just got to be a level of unbelievable happiness, though, in those people. When I see like shit like that, just I see somebody like completely painted in their hometown.
Yeah.
I'm like, and you're like, what a fucking idiot. But in my mind, I'm like, they're probably, this is, they're yes. happy.
Their
lives are great.
So zen.
This is
for
it
that
for them.
Time.
Yeah.
This is great for them.
For that time.
Yeah.
But now I'm curious, do they feel the same after a win or loss? Like, because do they go home and realize...
No, they go to Hooters.
I wonder
still
it.
Painted.
Yeah. I wonder it with, like, Southern football, like SEC teams. Like, there are people who, when the Clemson season starts, it is, like, recharged. Life begins again. Saturday, mega fucking tailgate. We get fucked up. We go into the game. It's like, when the season ends... Where do they go? Like what? Where? Like emotionally? Yeah. Yeah. Where do they go?
No, that's a great question.
And I know not that. Everyone's like that. I know that people can be mega fans and be like, yeah,
turn it off.
It's just happening now. So I dig in. It's like great, but there are some people who are like they have nothing
it's
else.
It's the be all end all.
Yeah.
Do they put all that emotional energy like into their families, or do they just like no. go? I'm saving it for next season.
Yeah. Yeah. No one talk to me.
We got a recruit. He's a ninth grade, right? You got to see this video.
Yeah. Oh, you got an A on your social studies project, Christy? Who gives a shit? I got to save these hoorahs for the season.
Oh, you want to talk to me about your feelings? Why did I buy you that diary? Stay out of my TV room, which is just the living room. Like, well, then we can't get to the
Dad,
kitchen.
Dad, you're not even from here. You're obviously from Brooklyn.
Yeah. You brush your teeth in my shit room again.
Mouth.
You mean the bathroom?
Yeah,
my poop closet. Stay out. Dad, you're not even Southern.
If you even so as much step into my fuck dorm.
I'm sorry. You just...
I had to bap you in the face.
I'm sorry. I just sometimes have to clap loudly. Well, it hurts my ears, Dad.
Well, you get me so goddamn mad.
Go Dad. Write it in your diary. So anyway, so there's
be the worst like CNN
going on.
I would love to see those types of pauses between news anchors at some point, where like just nobody's got a clue for
a
where
huge
to go.
Breath.
Just anyway, shuffling.
Sigh. It would say so much.
It would just confirm what we've all suspected.
They all hate each other. Shitty news banter, by the way, is one of
the things at the news station is that I was telling you this when I would do camera, because there would the hours that I would work, it'd be like I think it was like a 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. It was back when, like, and it's still going, but, like, when local news was like, fuck, we can actually have a lot of blocks. We don't have to just be 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, we had, like, a 10, a 9, like, we had, like, 4 shows a night of news that we were doing, like, keeping people updated on news. It was ridiculous.
Would you recap, like, would 6 o'clock do some of 5 o'clock stories?
Sometimes, yeah. It would just kind of, like, I can't remember... Like, why they did it. It kind of made sense. Like, they would have news stories, but it was like, hey, this is kind of like the afternoon kind of fluff stuff. And then it's like heavy hitting prime time. Like, you could tell like certain hours they were like playing
nighttime
to
is prime time for the, like the really,
I mean, 11 o'clock news for sure. And like after the 11 o'clock news, every now and then, if they had enough time in the show, because sometimes in the show, they would have enough time to run the credits at a normal pace and the show would just end. But you know, sometimes the news is running quick and they got to quickly go into like the Tonight Show or something.
Yeah.
So we would like, if they had time, sometimes they would roll the credits. They would have like a camera pull back to reveal kind of the studio, like pulling back the curtain. And then I would walk out with a piece of paper like I was a producer, because I would have a headset and I would like act like I'm giving the anchors notes. And I asked them one time if I could do it. And they were like, all right, look, we'll just try it. So I did it. And somebody was like, oh, I like how that looks. It looks official. Like he's going out and like talking about the stories.
Yeah.
And so they let me, anytime I was doing, I was like, can I do the thing where I walk out? And they were like, yeah, go for it. And I would write shit on the paper to try to get them to laugh. And I would just go out and be like, hey, so here's what we want to try to work on for the next thing. And the anchors would have to like look at it and like look at each other and like have a fake conversation with me. Some anchors were like not into it at all, but some were like, I could tell, liked the challenge of like, as soon as they saw me walking, like, here we go. What's he got?
They had to look at it as if it was like, so we're going to do that tornado story, but we're going to close with the kids coming out of the well.
They probably don't want to see you laughing behind the credits. Like, and then the whole family died.
Just waving off and smiling.
Right.
What would you put on it?
I can't remember. Yeah. I would just write anything. Even if it was just like, fuck. Like something.
Yeah.
Or I'd draw like a picture. It was just anything. It was, I mean, it goes perfectly with how I grew up trying to make like kids in class laugh.
Any news Clooney boops that you can remember that were like
piglet penis?
Because in this day and age, if you have a blooper on the news, you're like
you're a star.
A star.
Yeah.
Like when I was doing shows in Reno, I met this girl who was a one of the news people for the Reno station, and she was at her old station. I can't remember the name of the clip, but she was the female anchor to a guy who said like it was like a real he basically was just like fuck it and quit or something and was like I'm fucking and fuck it all and like on air.
Yeah.
And she had to be like okay she just got happened famous because of that.
Yeah, the one that had just happened recently about the pot. Is there
no,
about?
Not that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's one of the greatest clips yeah. I've ever seen.
I gotta see that stuff. What happens?
Tell them.
She just this woman just she quit her job as an anchor
in Alaska
on air in Alaska. She is like working with like marijuana and like trying to legalize it and. I don't know if it's legalized or
no,
whatever,
it's not.
But she's a part of some coalition, I guess. I'm probably fucking this up. But either way, she's like talking about the story, and then she goes, and just to...
I'm going
to
dedicate my
out
time.
Myself, yeah. I have been the president of this thing I just did a story on, and I'm going to dedicate all my time to do it. So, fuck it. I quit. And just walks off, and it cuts back to the other anchor, and she's like...
Sorry
okay,
about that.
Okay, we apologize for that. In other news, like
toys will still be out for Christmas. They, her timing on the fuck it. By the way,
yeah,
this is going to be how you go out. Like, make sure you really hit that. Like, don't panic and go so, and or add to it. Like, and if I was doing it and knew I was going to be like fuck
much.
It, I'd say too much. I'd be like, and you know what? This has been some fucking bullshit. So fuck yeah, it. Yeah, yeah. And oh, and hey, fucking Marv, I know you. That was you who fucking always used all the toilet paper. Like you'd add some other shit, yeah. You know. But she was just poignant.
But super smart marketing move.
Yeah.
Because now it's like she's not going to get. I don't know. I don't think you can get in trouble for that. Like
no.
The station would get fined.
Come on, it's great ratings.
Yeah. But she now it's like oh, now we know your company and we know you and yeah. Like she put the story together yeah. To like hey, here's something you should all know about. It's yeah. Like my own company
sure.
And I'm the president. Peace.
Fuck like, it.
That's so fuck it. They're like, well, she didn't
fuck it.
Cuss.
Just goes home. Like, did I say fuck it?
Oh, yeah, that's the
why
worst.
Did you say it like that?
I quit. Why was there an
I quit.
Why was there an E on the end in the teleprompter?
Yeah, God,
the teleprompter
that.
Dude knew. Yeah,
yeah. I got nervous. What? Why are you
oh
saying
my God,
it like
what
that?
Oh, that
was.
You?
I would get the most nervous if I had to run the teleprompter. Sometimes I wasn't on camera. I was on teleprompter.
Ooh, fuck that.
And sometimes, and you control the speed, and you can go super fast. You have to like listen to them. And kind of roll with it. And that was like nerve wracking. Even though it's pretty easy, it was
yeah,
nerve wracking.
No, it becomes, that's terrifying.
You're a fan of pot.
I know mushrooms and pot.
Yeah.
And
I'm
I've kind of just stayed in those that world.
Me too. I'm afraid to do, I haven't even done coke. And I, because I, you know what, I'm not even, against it. I just saw it in college a couple times so terribly that I was like, oh, I never want to be that guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was
yeah.
Just so in my face and fucking tweaking and rubbing his teeth a lot. Ooh. And talking to me about like, I mean, Mike Young has that great bit about like everybody on coke, like within meeting you in 5 minutes wants to start a business with you. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's like that.
That's so true.
But mushrooms, I've had two of the greatest days of my life on.
Yeah.
And then pot just it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have the an amazing bit you did on Conan about the way people look. Was it being high at the grocery store, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And checking, assessing each aisle.
As it comes to the crime scene.
Like, you're a detective, dude. Would Jams live next to what? I mean, whatever.
Jams and Chili's.
Dude, unbelievable. Have all your pot experiences been positive?
No. God, yeah. No.
Okay. I'm always curious for people who've done it a lot what the bad days were.
I try. I mean, I have some bad times on pot, and it's usually my own fault. And it's usually... I usually start to have them when I'm real, when I'm not paying attention to how much I'm smoking, not in one sitting, but like, you know, like for however long, like a month or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in and out of like breaks from pot, which I tell that to some people and they're like, that's crazy. And I'm like, yeah, but every now and then you have to step back and prove to yourself that you can
it's
step
not a problem.
Back.
Yeah, 1,000%. That you can step
because
back.
I can't 100% prove that I don't have a pot smoking problem. I mean, I love going on stage high and I have a lot of fun
yeah.
And do very well
yeah.
Sober.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, but when I'm smoking a ton, I start to get into a zone where I'm like, fuck, I'm on in like 10 minutes. I got to go get high. And I hate that about myself. I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, what if tonight you just don't?
Yeah,
are you
yeah.
Forgetting that you can still do
yeah,
this?
Yeah, yeah.
And that like drives me insane. So I'll go through like periods of time where I'm like, all right, let's just see how long we can not smoke
yeah
and just get back into, and also it takes me, and I'm like as creative as I feel like it does make me, past a certain point, it starts to go the opposite direction where I just start getting super dumb. And I notice it when I watch like comics who are like just crushing, and I'm like, oh, that shit's so smart and they're doing so well, and I can't even think of one funny thing right now, even about a joke I've already written.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever just tensed up on stage that we just taken over where you've like forgotten a bit, or you've just like gone down a path that was so weird?
Yeah. But the great thing with pod is that I don't mind just keep going.
Yeah.
Like I kind of am like, I'll just
more
keep
fearless.
Pushing because yeah. I'll find something.
Yeah.
And even if I'm super fucking weird, I don't ever like saying, well, I'm high, everybody. I don't like that.
No.
But
because there's a level of judgment from the audience.
I think so. And especially if it's not going well, if they're like a paying audience, if they're not a paying audience and I'm like, well, I could tell you or not tell you. Yeah. What do you care? You're here for free.
Yeah.
But a paying audience, it's like, well, if it's not going well, I certainly don't want to be like, hey, this could have gone well,
yeah.
but you paid and I didn't respect that.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like I've never really had, I've had only really one time on stage where, and I was sober and I didn't really know what to do or how to get out of it. And the crowd I knew hated me and was ready to like move on. And it was like the most humbling experience where I was like, fuck, I lost this audience. I don't know how. I was hosting. I was like, I don't know how. And I know that I can't get them back. I just tried to get them back. I know that there's a wall between us. And that's the only time I've been legitimately like shaken while on stage.
Yeah.
Other times I wasn't really shaken, but it might not have gone well, but it didn't totally bother me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to the grocery store, I love that point about too. I mean, other things that you like to do when you get high, like I'm always curious, what do you like to be out in public or and be adventurous, or is it more like I'm just going to watch Jurassic Park 3 and figure out what a better cast could have been?
There's sometimes I prefer that. I would say I probably,
by the way,
unfortunately,
you guys want to do that after this podcast?
It sounds like something you've already done.
Okay, Jason Statham as the T-Rex.
Okay. All right. You're already winning.
Yeah.
I feel like unfortunately I do prefer that most of the time.
Yeah.
I do want to like stay home and just like zone out and shit. And I always convince myself, oh, I'm going to, get creative and do some writing. And every now and then that does happen.
Yeah.
But for the most part, for me to have really like a lot of fun, I don't want to be around a ton of people. But yeah.
So the mall is a terrible place for
you.
But
like getting high and going to the grocery store. There's one time Andy Haynes and I were on the road and we did a late show somewhere in Washington State near the border.
Yeah.
But we decided that, and we were going over to do a ski resort show the next night.
Yep.
So we decided to drive as close to the border as we could, get a hotel room, and then drive the rest of the way the next morning. On our way to the border, we see a 24-hour Walmart Supercenter. Yeah. And it's like
beautiful.
1 in the morning.
Yeah.
And
by the way, so, the perfect time to just
so amazing.
Pull an
it's like a bad road comedy movie.
Immediately,
where it's like in the distance.
Yeah.
Immediately, Andy rolls a joint. We smoke it, and we go in, and there's no one. There's a as soon as we walk in, there's a clerk and like two police officers who are like, like the security. There's this woman here, but you could tell they're also like, what a great gig. Like,
yeah.
We know her, and we just sit here and drink coffee and chat. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
I wonder
some of the lights weren't even on.
Yeah.
And so when we walk in, you can tell that they're just kind of like, in a way, they're like, oh. So like I tensed up for a second, like, oh shit, cops. But then you could tell the cops are all like, what are you going to do?
Steal lethal weapon for?
Exactly.
Go ahead, man.
So we just walked around this giant Walmart Supercenter by ourselves, and we split up, and I was like in the, because the Supercenter has like the grocery area. I'm in the freezer section. I'm like feeling like I'm in 2001. I'm like, this is a fucking Kubrick movie, the way the lights are coming out.
Let's acknowledge the fact
freezer.
You said you guys split up. That makes the adventure
the best. It was so much fun. And then at certain points we couldn't find her. It's like, Andy, Andy, you gotta see this. Yelling, knowing that no one's there.
That's great, dude.
But I love that kind of shit. I like going into those kinds of environments. And that will like set my brain off the most. Like that's because when I'm so ADD.
So if you're being overstimulated, you're not going to be able to process your own thoughts.
I don't know. Like when I'm sober, I feel like I'm too ADD. I can't pay attention to much stuff. It's actually other comics that get my sense of humor going.
Yeah.
Because if they clue into a joke, that's like the pot for me. I'm like, oh, that's the joke. That's the thing that we're all like making a joke about.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm like sober by myself, the thoughts are just, they're meaningless and there's nothing to like latch onto. But if I'm high, those like meaningless thoughts, like one will cross my radar And I will be like, well, yeah, how does that thing work? Yeah. And then suddenly, oh, maybe that's funny. And yeah, I start to write it down like a little bit. But I have to be in those places to get that kind of stimulation.
Were you high? Were you and John Doerr high for the simultaneous stand-up?
No.
That to me, and I can't tell you how many friends of mine who aren't comics, when that came out, that I've showed still to this day. And even in comics, like Sandy Danto, when we were talking about you, and I was like, you've seen this? And he's like, it's like the greatest late night set of all time, man.
I appreciate that. John gets all the credit for that creativity.
You saw that shit live.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you haven't seen it, by the way, just YouTube, I guess, Rory Scovel, John Doerr, Conan.
Yeah.
So you guys are, the whole thing, Conan says he overbooked. He has two acts. He's going to let you guys
do it. Oh, you're talking about that one?
Yes.
Yeah. I've stood in for that one, too.
But I also, just the one of you in the suit and the keyboard, and the piano player is amazing.
What about the one where he plays an usher in the audience and they have an argument?
That's the second John Doerr.
That's the best.
We're trying to, John and I haven't talked, but I've talked to JP. JP's like, you know, what's the third installment of this saga? And I'm like, well, it's got to be perfect. I was like, we haven't talked about anything, but it's got to be something. It can't be something that we're like, this is kind of funny. Let's go do it. Like,
because
it's
the other
be
two,
epically big. Because the switching places thing was so, in my mind, I was like, it's so grand. We've got like Conan and Andy are involved in the sketch. And the crowd. I was like, we have to go beyond that.
Yeah.
Tell me, though, with the simultaneous act, like, how did you, where's the idea come from? How do you practice it? Because there was, like, not a beat that was missed. I'm sure you guys watched it, or even doing it, like, did you feel, like, nervous of, like, oh, fuck, don't, are you listening to him, or?
Yeah, no, the moment you guys listen to each other, you can't do it. You're fucked, because you will, even jokes that you've done 100 times, you'll forget. You'll forget where you are in the joke, and you'll forget how it goes, and you'll just stop talking. Because I've done that before. The very first time I ever tried it with him, I tried to do that. But it's John's thing. Like, John has done it. The first time I saw it, John did it with James Adomian at Bridgetown, and it was so hilarious. I loved it. And then there was one show in Montreal, and John was like, do you want to try it tonight? And I was like, oh, yeah, I saw you guys do it. I would love to do it. And it didn't go well. We also have Reggie come in. So we had three of us.
Reggie Watts?
So Reggie Watts starts doing a little bit of music, and he and I keep doing like our act. And it's just crazy. And then he puts his music on loop, and we all just leave the stage. That was really fun. But after that, we never, ever practice it. And we never have told each other what jokes we're going to do. And in fact, even for that Conan one,
but you knew,
we didn't like go over it. We didn't practice the guitar, the improv thing. The only cues were coming out. It was like, let's make sure when he goes to his guitar, I got to go get that girl from the audience, bring her out.
Of course.
And when he smashes that guitar, get rid of that girl. Those were the only cues the whole time. And I was really nervous being like, oh, I'm going to do this arms game with this girl. And I don't even know what to say, because I'm also like, at that point I am like, well, where is John in this? Is he about to, should I try to ramp up a, like something?
You don't
something
see that before? In your guys, you don't see the wheels turning at all in either one of you. Cause I'm sure you have, I mean, there's gotta be some point where you step out of you and you have to, right? Like, listen, like,
or I mean, just, for that for the particular
you hear the
thing,
guitar
I mean,
smash.
As soon as he smashed that guitar, I was like, all right, give it up for a
cause you guys said thank you at the exact moment.
Yeah. I've told John, I was like, even going back and watching it, I'm like, we'll never do it that way again. We never did before. I was like, but that night it just synced up in terms of like weird words that were able to get heard. And also when we walk out, I feel like he also like waves with his right arm, and I just happened to wave with my left. Even there was like a symmetry to our waving and him like looking to Conan, or I can't remember, but it was
could you remember, did you see
he
Conan
was laughing?
I was gonna say
because I'm off to the side. I remember all this. Just under the bleachers, Brent.
What did he say to you guys? Because on air, he's like, that's great. But I'm sure afterwards he
was into it. He was super into it. And he was like, we love this kind of shit. This is our flavor.
Yeah.
Anything you guys have, like, come back. Do some more stuff. And then John and I tried the switching places thing. Randomly, we're at Tiger Lily. We were going to be it that night, and John's like, what if we just both do something at the same time instead of each do an act? And I was like, oh, yeah, what should we do? And we're just sitting in his apartment, and it kind of, we just came up with the idea of switching places and having some of our friends be there and switch with them. And it started out, John was a waiter interrupting me. And so the argument was like, how hard is it to be a fucking waiter and keep your voice down? And he's like, how hard is it to stand up there and talk about shit that's not even funny? And we're both yelling at each other. Like, some people didn't think it was a joke until we actually switched.
Yeah.
The comics were laughing.
Yeah.
But there were some people who were like, because John just came over with a tray to a table and just sets it down, knowing that that's going to set them off going, oh, we didn't order this. And then John just loudly, oh, you guys didn't order that? I thought you guys had ordered that. And they're like, no, we're all good. Like, are real people.
Holy
and
shit.
Then I just chimed in with like, hey, what is going on? Like, is it so hard to keep your voice down right now? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to make some money. Like, well, I'm trying to get good at this so I can make money. So when we did it on Conan, I was like, I hate that we don't have the waiter element because those jokes worked great. But we only did that twice before Conan. And when the first time on Conan, we got bumped.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because we didn't really have an ending.
Mel Brooks,
his interview went long.
Yeah.
And it was like a blessing because we didn't really have a legit ending that night. And so when they bumped us and then 2 weeks later we came on, we did have a better ending. And I was Mel Brooks, this actually works great. And also, Conan then was like a bigger part of the ending with what you did see. And it wasn't originally going to be that way.
How much value do you think, for both you guys, do you think there is to something like over editing or over working a bit or over rehearsing, like something that you're going to
do in that setting?
Yeah, like when you both do your hours.
I have a half hour and I've got an hour special that's going to come out at some point.
You already shot it.
Mm-hmm. I shot it. Yeah, I did it on my own. Awesome. So I have to do all the work for
it. Yeah, because you're going to do it solo.
Inspiring though, man. I saw the intro. I didn't see the special.
We've recut
the space
it. And it's a little bit better.
Where'd you shoot it at?
In Charleston, South Carolina.
Nice.
Another like awesome city to do stand-up.
Well, people fucking love it. I'm sure you'll find a great outlet. What are your choices for outlets?
I don't know yet. I mean, we're just trying to. We still got to get it color corrected and do the audio. It ended up being way more expensive than I thought it would be. I'm still glad that I did it on my own.
1,000%.
And I've learned a ton from doing it, but it's still every step of the way. It's like, well, we actually might need $5,000 more. It's guys, I'm way over budget. I now understand producers when they're like, we're not giving you any money.
Even if
it means this movie never gets made.
Do you think I work at TMZ? I'm not floating in dough.
I can't just be at TMZ fucking moms and dads.
I
have to have a real job.
What's the name of it?
Religion, politics, drugs, nothing like insane. It's just that's like kind of the jokes all fall in that category. Yeah. So,
what was your process for that? I mean, did you like do like, our buddy, Chris D'Elia, who's, on this tour now before he does, that's how he's working his next hour. He's just going to go straight, do it 30 times.
See, that's professional and smart. I choose a different route. I like to be unprofessional and stupid about my approach.
Can I tell you something, though? Because I was like, when I was doing Ground Floor, we were in his dressing room watching Alan Partridge.
You don't need to tell people that.
Much, and we watched the whole movie during work.
Twice. We watched two movies.
Two, which is kind of like, this is our job, that we have this much time to watch a movie, go do a scene, and then we're just like, all right, I guess we're going home. I'm tired. but I'm talking about a special, and he shows me like the first cut of his opening and then shows me where the location is. And I just had a meeting talking about, because I'm not going to do a half hour. Yeah. I won't do an hour. And I just like... inspired off that and then what like Sarah Silverman has done and like some people I was like, shit, I don't have to do the theater, especially since nobody knows who I am. So it's gonna be filled by audience people mostly, and whoever produces it.
You really should put yourself in a setting, in my opinion, that you already have conquered.
Even feel comfortable.
You know what I mean?
So I thought about doing my old high school theater where I did like plays and stuff.
Really?
Oh my God.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Because I think hometown people would pack it out.
Oh, for sure.
That theater was like where I got the bug to do it.
What is it seat?
250?
That's perfect.
But I've never done comedy. I mean, I did talent shows and stuff.
I don't mean in terms of like...
It doesn't matter.
Legit,
if they come in
I don't mean like legit locations you've already done and conquered. I just mean like the three of us are used to going and doing weekend of shows and selling between 100 to 300 tickets for a show. You know what
really?
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Hey,
I mean,
man, like, I don't know if you thought According to Jim came out last week, but it was 7 years ago.
I've got the DVD of that one episode. It's burnt.
That's all they released.
It's well, a like, burnt DVD. I got
example, because you told me that initially it was going to be a theater, and then it was like, then it moved, and then you found this space, and we're like, can we make this a thing? And you showed me pictures of it, and it was a space where, did you guys put down chairs and all
we
that?
We put down chairs. See, the theater that I would have done it is similar to your situation. This theater I would have done it in holds like 200 to 250. So I wanted to do it there specifically because I was like, oh, the amount of people that will be in this space, I'm used to. I'm used to 250 people. Yeah. Not that, and I didn't go into it thinking, well, we should get a 500 seat theater. Like, I was like, no, I'm not going to sell 500 tickets. So I should do it in a space that holds the amount that I'm used to selling is what I kind of mean by that.
Great.
Concrete thing.
Okay, gotcha.
But the theater space itself is a bigger room than I'm used to, but it's still pretty intimate. But on camera would have looked fantastic. Yeah. It would have like looked like a little bit bigger space than it really is, which I think would have looked good, especially for the angles we could have gotten. The camera like operators would have had more room to work with. But instead, we had to do it at this other place, which was also a great space. I just didn't like that we had to bring in chairs to make it a like seated space. Sure. I kind of wish it was like a theater already.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it is a theater, but you know what I mean? Like seats are already there. They're always there. And this is how the room always looks.
Are your family and friends, are they all fired up about just your career in general? I mean,
I think
TV and comedy, are they all so far removed right from the business? I'm assuming that like, do they ask you? Like,
it's crazy.
Have you
I think.
Get in a Spielberg movie, that type of shit. Or
it's
like,
not like that. I think they're just constantly like when I started doing stand up, everyone was like, oh, that's interesting. That's crazy. No one ever was like, well, good luck, or hey, when are you gonna call it quits? You know what I mean? Yeah. They're all like, oh, that's crazy, you do stand up, all right. And then when I got like a TV thing, it was kind of like, oh, well, all right, maybe he can really like do this. And so more
of those give become everybody
being like, like, oh wow, like I think now with this TV show, I think now my family's like, oh, he does this. It isn't like, oh, he's doing this. This is what he does.
Oh, man, what a mentality shift.
It's kind of great because it's, I mean,
always supportive, but always still kind of like, it's what he's doing now.
Yeah, I mean, think about everybody in your family. Like, to have, like, one person in your family who can call and be like, hey, this thing is going on, and it's fun because it does relate to you because you watch TV or you like movies. Like, the good news I'm telling you relates to your life.
Yeah.
And to me, that's, like, great. Not, you know, it's like, if someone's like, hey, we're having a kid, you're like, oh my God, that relates to me. That's going to be, you're adding to the family that I'm in.
Yeah.
But when someone like is like, hey, turns out we're actually going to get another week of vacation at my job, you're kind of like, I don't give a fuck about that.
Kind
of, what do I do with that?
Yeah.
But if someone's like, hey, I'm going to be on this thing, it's like, hey, fucking, I watch it or at least DVR it. Like, cool, I'll check that out. I'll look into that thing.
Yeah.
So,
would you ever do anything other than this?
There's
a question for both you guys.
It would only I would only do something other than this if I had to. Like I would prefer this forever. Yeah. I mean, obviously, but yeah, I don't know what it would be. I was
or
big
what
into
was
soccer.
It? Okay, yeah. What was the plan? The maybe not the plan B, but the one
sort
of, the plans.
Of a. I mean, sort of a plan B. If I couldn't do this, I would because I am into soccer. I would probably try to rekindle that obsession with it and try to coach. Like a college team or at some level.
I mean, that's a show I would watch the shit out of, dude.
Yeah,
you coach
right
oh my God. Team.
Wanting to be a coach is like, I think that's why I kind of like have a character built around being a coach because it's like, my family is like a sports family.
That I mean, that's, you have to write a movie. I mean, dude, whether it's, I mean, not kicking and screaming-esque, but like there's... Right. It's Ladybugs or the Big Green, or I mean,
oh, for sure, I would love it. I would love to do any coaching, any like sport. Like if it was like a baseball, coach movie.
Oh, I want to do a sports movie so bad. I'm sure we all do.
Something I think we've all talked about. It's fucking. That's
yours. Would be a baseball movie, right?
It baseball, basketball, any golf. Ah. I want to do it, dude.
Yeah.
And I tweeted something the other day. I said, life goal, I want to do a baseball movie where Kevin Costner plays my dad. That, like, that would be the shit.
Yeah,
like,
man.
I'm a struggling pitcher. We don't get along. Some shit. You know what I mean?
Does he
Field of Dreams, basically.
I want to try to do Field of Dreams, The Return.
Yeah, The Return. Something
more
with
dreams.
I want to do a fucking movie with,
does he quote one of his old movies in your movie as kind of like a little wink to the audience?
Yeah, it has
where he's
to
like,
be.
You're like trying to get your team back together, and he's like, Brent. If you
oh, find
if
it.
If you find it, they will come, or whatever. Yeah, what's the fucking line? I don't know. I haven't seen
it. No, I don't. That's why I said find it. I said find it because the way you pause, I could see in your eyes, you're like, shit, what's a line from a Kevin Costner? You're like Bull Durham's in your head for some reason.
Yeah. I would love it. He's like, Brent, if you build it, they will come. And even in character, you're still like, shut up, Kevin.
Yeah.
You call him Kevin.
Yeah.
Shut up, Costner.
We both look at camera for a second, and it's such a good movie up until that point. We're like, they fucking just ruined the movie for us.
Yeah.
That's a goal for me. I'd definitely do a sport movie. It'd be the best. Because too many actors look like they can't play sports,
I know.
Too. And it's the worst.
They shoot them all so close up so that, like the tennis movies.
Like fight scenes, too.
Yes. Yeah.
Super close to where you're like, pull it back. They're fighting.
Yeah. As a camera operator, that must drive you nuts. Yeah.
I want to make this look beautiful. No. Why don't you zoom in on his shoulder?
Yeah, this guy
can't play.
Then no one can see that his fucking karate chop.
We'll assume there's contact being made between these two.
This guy's the greatest NBA player alive. And then it's like, no, he's not. He's terrible.
Yeah.
That was a horrible
pass. Who are some of the actors that have gotten to be athletes that are just...
Leonardo DiCaprio, Basketball Diaries. I've never seen somebody dribble worse and shoot worse. I remember that bothered me. Other side of that example, somebody who's really good besides Kevin Costner, who looks like he can play every sport.
Michael J. Fox.
Well, I was going to say Charlie Sheen in Major League because
looked
he was a high school pitcher and loved baseball.
Yeah.
Actually looked like he could throw 98. Just
you could tell. That windup. Because the baseball windup in movies is like the immediate tell of like, you don't know what sports are.
Yeah. Like, even when someone goes out to throw the first pitch, you can kind of tell how they're walking if it's going to be good. You're like, this is going to be a wild one here.
It comes a terrible thing.
Yeah.
And in the middle ground of that, Dennis Quaid and The Rookie. See, I watch all the sport movies because he didn't actually know how to play, but he wanted to play that character, but he actually worked his ass off, and he doesn't look terrible.
No, but he still looks
bad. But he still looks like an old guy trying to play
But it's
ball
Disney, so you're like, okay, I'm going to let everything slide because I'm touched right now.
Any given Sunday, he looks like a decent quarterback.
Yo, yeah.
Yep.
That's any given Sunday.
He could do that. It's a different throw.
Yeah.
Another example, Shia LaBeouf, greatest game ever played, lied, said he used to play golf, never
to
played
get
golf,
the part?
And then went to a driving range for like 3 days and learned how to play golf, and he actually has a really good swing in the fucking movie.
No shit.
Yeah. See, that's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Where's he now?
He's doing
Shots fired, LaBeouf.
It's LaBeouf.
Scoville versus LaBeouf.
It's LaBeouf? I'm pretty sure it's LaBeouf.
Either way, Shia is a fucking good guy.
Boy. Some big time Clooney boops happening right now.
Excuse me,
right,
Shia boops. LaBeouf? Shia LaBeouf.
That's funny to say. Where's he right now? Well, he's probably at his fucking mansion.
I don't know.
Swimming in his
one
millions.
Of his nine mansions.
Getting his dick sucked but still frowning.
By a transformer?
But still frowning.
Yeah, he's depressed, I think. I don't know. He's in Fury. That fucking Brad Pitt movie coming
out. That's the thing about like being a celebrity and like fucking up. And then people got pissed about the plagiarism thing, which I guess is what spiraled him out. But he spiraled out so bad from it. It's like, well, wait, are you just crazy?
Yeah.
Like, plagiarism aside, are you crazy?
Yeah. Calm the fuck down. We all steal.
Yeah. Even with all that, it's like, who do we get for this Brad Pitt movie? You know, the biggest name.
Yeah.
Shia?
Yeah.
He's gone crazy, but just give it to him.
Give
and then he's amazing in it. It's
God,
like, maybe like, you just have to be a psycho to be an actor.
Yeah. Who do we want for this movie we're putting out in awards season with Brad Pitt? Let's get Shia LaBeouf. He just wrote something in the sky yesterday.
For an art project, and then he wore a paper bag. You know, maybe he'll wear a paper bag to the premiere. That won't embarrass any of us.
I did see that.
That's why he's, I was going to say, probably why. I just realized that's probably why he's not on the poster and shit.
I think he is a good
actor.
That's
definitely why he's not on the podcast.
I think he is a good actor.
That's where you draw the line.
I'm like saying all this in case he does listen and can help my career.
He's definitely weird enough that he would just be listening to random podcasts.
Shia's weird,
all day.
But you know what? I think he's really talented. I think he's a good guy. And I think it's a bad rap.
What if he just fucking? I love Shia LaBeouf. Let me tell you something about Shia LaBeouf. That's a fucking guy who's a friend.
That's what
in
I
the
think.
Future.
Yes,
that's a guy who should be hanging out with all of us.
Oh, you can tell.
He used to do stand up. Does everybody know that?
Yes.
6 years old.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was the dirty comic and a hippie parents. He went
when
up there and he'd swear at the ice house.
What?
Yeah, that's how he started.
When you go that crazy.
How do you know all
I know everything about Shia.
or just the history of the Ice House. Maybe you only know
the Ice House.
Yeah.
Well, it's like baseball movies, apparently, I know, and I know Shia.
Back when the Ice House was doing a joint effort with Discovery Zone and the TMZ.
By the way, TMZ is our sponsor today. Full count here for Ramirez.
Line drive. Don't forget, if you get a chance, try to grab the kids. On Saturday, we're doing a great fuck fest. It's an all day.
It's a fan fest,
sucking fuck. It's going to be a lot of fun. Grab the kids. We got hot dogs. We got pizzas. We're going to have balloons that you can put wherever.
And don't forget the lemonade. They have great lemonade.
It's Christine
Legit
Moran.
Legit lemonade. Legit lemonade, though.
It's Angela Mothers Lansbury bobblehead night. She looks like she's bobbing right on your cock in the ball pit. Speaking of balls, ball four on Ramirez.
Oh, my God.
All right, that's how we should close it out.
Oh, yeah. That's how we should close it
it's
out.
It's been a lot of fun.
This has been fun. Thank
Thanks
you.
For coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Your Twitter's at Rory Scovel.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
RoryScovel.com.
Yep.
For all the tour dates.
All the dates.
Are those dates going to start?
Those dates are, I got a couple things coming up once we wrap, and I'm going to be in Chicago in a couple weeks.
Cool.
Oh,
at the Up Club.
Oh, I love Up.
Yeah.
You got to do Up.
Yeah. I'm doing Zanies again.
Oh, Zanies is good, too, from what I hear.
I hear everything in Chicago is great.
It's
great
it is.
I did Lincoln Lodge until that closed, and that was fun.
Yeah. What do you now when you go on the road real quick? Like, what's your in a city like that? Will you try to get out and see and do stuff, or are you just
A city like Chicago? Yeah. I will. I really like Chicago. Yeah. I'll try to get out and like see some stuff, and if there's anybody I know, try to like hang out with. But yeah, I think so.
You know,
I am a guy who does often sit in the hotel and do nothing, even in an interesting city.
Of course,
yeah.
Just depends on what's happened prior to that. I mean, you've been shooting ground floor nonstop, so like. If you were to go this weekend, you probably might.
I might. I don't know.
Look, find some Skinamax.
I might.
Way to close it up with
I know, I might. I actually might.
That's a great little voice.
Oh, God.
Hey, what's going on?
If I could assign something after listening to that. All right. RoryScovel.com at Rory Scovel. Brent Morin on Twitter.
BrentMorin. See me at Dental Internal Light.
Rory.
Thank you.
Wait, ground floor. What is it? When's the second
December 9th.
Hell
December
yeah.
9th premieres. Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. TBS. December 9th is the first one.
Brent, yeah, Undateable?
Double episode.
Undateable, night. Undetermined, shooting, Undetermined.
Is that the new poster?
If it comes out, Undetermined. But I believe it will. We'll see what happens. But listen, you keep putting us in wars. We'll still keep coming out on top.
There it is.
Thanks, fellas. Mountain.
Thank you, everybody.
Show! That's the show!
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or AboutLastNightPodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.